Insight on Business the NewsHour is made possible through the support of Focus and Find, helping you turn human resources into a profit zone rather than an expense. Focusandfind.com.
Hey, welcome back to Insight on Business. Grateful that you're listening to us from wherever on the planet you happen to be. One of the things that is happening in many states, and particularly here in the state of Iowa, is that legislature is convinced that to solve workforce issues in Iowa, what we need to do is empower kids to go to work in various industries. And while I had a paper route when I was 14 years old, there are other things that may be more serious to take a look at. My guest is Charlie Wishman. He is the president of the Iowa Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO, and very much ingrained in what's going on with some of these changes to the child labor laws. Charlie, welcome back. You are a return visitor. Grateful that you're here with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much, Michael. I always enjoy being on your program.
So I just have to, let's set the stage a little bit. What's going on with this effort to allow kids to work at various... The issue is not, can kids work?
Sure.
Right?
Right.
So tell us about that. So you're not against kids getting a job?
Oh, absolutely not. We definitely do not oppose children of appropriate ages getting jobs that are appropriate for them. Just about everybody I know worked in something or another when they were a teenager. I worked at a grocery store. I worked at gas stations. I worked at all different kinds of places. There are plenty of opportunities to learn financial responsibility, to learn time management, all kinds of things. The debate's not about whether or not kids should be working. It's about what kinds of work activities and what kinds of occupations are appropriate and safe for our teenagers to be working in.
Yeah, and some would say, well, wait a minute, Charlie Wishman, I'm the parent of this kid. I can say what this child can do or can't do, which is perhaps accurate, but not everybody necessarily. I mean, we all say that we have the best interests of our kids at heart, but there are some instances where perhaps working in a facility or a mining job, maybe working in a meatpacking place, maybe not necessarily be appropriate for a child.
You're entirely correct, Michael. So that's some of the things that really, really concern us about this bill. And if you're a parent, you may not know what goes into some of these very, very dangerous occupations. So for example, and the Senate file is Senate File 542, and the House file is House File 647. And they are slightly different, but, you know, we're talking about allowing 16 and 17-year-olds to perform assembly work in plants that manufacture or store explosives. Now, I think when you look at what happened in Marengo recently, where it didn't matter where you were working inside of that plant, the whole plant blew up, right? This allows 16 and 17-year-olds to work in meatpacking, but in shipping and assembly areas. A lot of parents have never been in a meatpacking plant or know what goes into that. And we believe that there's no place under 18 that anybody should be working in a slaughterhouse. This also allows 16 and 17-year-olds to work in mining. Hmm. I'm glad that they struck the word coal from it, but that's only because I think that we've mined all of the usable coal out of the state. But there's plenty of other mines that we're talking about that could be used with child labor, and this is heavy machinery. This is dangerous work. But, you know, a lot of people, and I'll end this argument on this point, because I think it's really important. A lot of people look at those of us in the labor movement and say, look, you are just afraid that kids are going to come and take jobs of your members. And it goes beyond that, because we, just like everybody else, we're your neighbors. We care about our kids. We care about your kids as well. And, you know, one provision in here is allowing 16 and 17-year-olds to serve alcohol. Now, I think that after 6 hours of somebody drinking, I certainly wouldn't want my 16-year-old daughter to be serving alcohol to them, no matter who they are. That's just asking for trouble.
Yeah, that. All right. So this bill is supposed to be there, these bills are supposed to be there to attempt to fix Iowa's workforce shortage. I mean, everybody I talk to in the world of business, and we don't do politics on the NewsHour, we strictly talk about business. And everybody across the United States and other countries are all saying, you know, we're just having a horrible time finding workers for our jobs. There's 1.9 jobs open for every individual looking for a job, for crying out loud. So there's choice out there. What do you think we need to do to solve the workforce shortage? If that's what this is supposed to be, there should be some maybe guardrails out there that says what you can and can't do as a 16-year-old. But what's the answer to solving this workforce shortage?
Sure. So I would actually start with the premise that, you know, I don't believe that there is a workforce crisis. I think that that's putting a lot of the onus of there being an issue on the worker, when there's a lot of room for businesses to change how they do things, and not just change, you know, let's ask ourselves, is there a workforce shortage problem, or is there a pay and benefits problem? Is there a secure, you know, providing people secure retirement problem? But it goes beyond that too. Is it a workplace safety problem? Is it a different generation of workers that are looking for workplaces that can adapt to them? And businesses can be upset that they have to change, but change is life, and nothing is, whether you like it or you don't like it, and I certainly don't like, you know, a lot of the, you know, Zoom meetings and things like that, but things are never going back to the way they were.
That's right.
And so we need to adapt, both employers and employees as well.
When you talk about pay and benefits and choice, that's exactly what we're seeing all over. If a company is not willing to meet at least halfway with the people that they're attempting to hire, then you're going to get negative reactions, I would think. You know, we see this in all areas of business. And one of the troubling things that we've run up against is, you know, people say, well, these young people don't want to work, or these young people, whatever the goofy idea is. And it's not that they don't want to work, but they've witnessed something in their own life that has dissuaded them to work for one company for their entire career. What do you think those things are that they've seen for their parents and their grandparents?
You know, so I'm constantly reminded by my teenage children that I'm old now. And old to them means that I'm 42. And, you know, I don't know. I don't feel old, but I will tell you this, that my entire life, my entire generation has seen nothing but stagnant wages. We've seen productivity amongst American workers skyrocket and be, you know, some of the highest productivity in the world. But we have not seen wages keep up with that. When you know, go back 40 years, the difference between CEO pay was probably 40 to 1. Now you're looking at a difference of 400 to 1 in terms of the difference between CEO or top management pay and the average worker pay. I do not blame this generation or any generations that are younger than me for saying, look, we not only want, but we demand something better. We demand something different because, yes, we did watch our parents and we watched our grandparents work their tails off and work till they die in some cases just to try to achieve the American dream. They want a real American dream, and what the American dream means to them may not mean the Leave It to Beaver 1950s sort of idea of what the American dream is.
Yeah, things have definitely changed. I grew up and was raised in Detroit, Michigan. And when you say Leave It to Beaver, I led a Leave It to Beaver life. My mother never worked outside of the home. My father, worked consistently. As a matter of fact, he was gone a lot of the time because he was working. And, when stagnant wages and benefits are out there, I mean, I was minimum wage is $7.25 an hour, for crying out loud, it's been there forever. Laws like this, these bills for kids working, whatever, you don't think that's going to fix it, do you?
Well, so I think that we've seen a couple of different attempts. Last year, we saw the legislature and the governor, we saw them restrict unemployment benefits, which is having some unintended consequences, especially when it comes to seasonal work and things like that. But there is this idea that, there's just a whole bunch of people sitting around watching Judge Judy all day, and that's what the problem is. Well, the needle did not move hardly at all by changing the amount of time around unemployment benefits that somebody could be on or the benefits that they would receive. And so that didn't work. So the next idea, I guess, that some people in state government and in the state legislature and the governor's office, they decided that, we're going to look to our children to try and solve this issue. Let's let kids be kids, and let's have adults. Let's pay adults better. Let's make sure that, what is it that's going to make people want to come to Iowa? Because,
we don't have beaches, ain't got any mountains. But there's a quality of life here, I think.
There is, because there's plenty of, I've chosen to raise my family here, and I love Iowa. But I have to say that, I graduated from high school in 1998, and let's just say that a lot of our best and brightest just from my high school, and I think this is true across the state, did not decide to stay here in Iowa. It doesn't mean that they wouldn't come back if we start doing things the right way and making Iowa a more welcoming and inclusive sort of place.
Well, that is one of the knocks that I think we've seen in this legislative session. And I'm not, again, we don't do politics. We're just trying to solve a problem. If we have a workforce problem, how do we start to attract a cadre of workers? Pay and benefits is one thing. Being a welcoming state is another. I can't tell you, Charlie Wishman, how many individuals I've talked to this year alone who are in between the ages of maybe 25 and 35 who are saying, I'm out of here. This state does not reflect my value proposition any longer, so I'm gone.
And, I think it goes beyond just values as well. It's very easy for me as a white man to sit here and talk about Iowa has been a good place for me to raise my my kids and have a family here. But there's a lot of people from different communities that, quite frankly, don't feel safe here. And I'm not exaggerating. They quite frankly do not feel safe. I talked to African Americans who do not feel safe driving through towns in Iowa. That is not the Iowa that I know. There are, and we could go on and on about so many different things that have happened. But yeah, no, we are not seeing Iowa being known as a welcoming state whatsoever. Mm. There's things that if that are happening with the government, but there's things that the business community can be doing to try and attract people to the state as well.
Charlie Wishman is the president of the Iowa Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO. He's been with our program numerous times talking about issues with regard to business and workforce development, and now even talking about things that could make Iowa even a much more welcoming state. Charlie, one of the things, I mean, you're the president of this federation, and this is a statewide federation. What is it going to take? And again, we look at business issues that are all across the state. And I worry sometimes about issues that are happening in some of our more rural counties, mm-hmm. where schools are merging, and it's no longer the XYZ, I mean, it's no longer the Seidel School District, it's now the ABCDEFG School District.
Certainly.
And what happens to these communities when they lose their school, which is a gathering point for people? They may lose their hospitals, or they may hospitals may decide not to do maternity care like they recently did in Marshalltown. What's the future look like for some of these wonderful communities that are out there that like to be close-knit, and they are very lovely places to be in? What happens when you start to hollow out all those essentials?
Well, you know, I think that this legislation in particular is going to even compound this problem more, because so much of this legislation around child labor, and it'll be something else next year, it'll be something else the year after, but in this particular case, so much of this violates federal law. Hmm. And what I'm talking about is it violates the Fair Labor Standards Act, and many, many Department of Labor rules and regulations. And the reason why that I believe that this is a concern for Iowa businesses is that if, say, I'm an Iowa business, what set of laws am I supposed to look at?
Mm.
Am I supposed to look at the state law? Because if I look at the state law, I'm putting myself in danger of having the U.S. Department of Labor come in and fine me. But, in the past weeks, and a lot of really, really great reporting has happened on this, but the Department of Labor has uncovered across the Midwest, and I believe that this is the tip of the iceberg on this particular issue, kids working, there was a New York Times article that laid this out, that where the lead was a 15-year-old girl working past midnight on a school night that was in a Cheerios factory. That is unacceptable. That should be unacceptable across, I don't care what, if you're a Republican, if you're a Democrat, or if you are nonpartisan or an independent. This is not the way to solve any kind of problem as far as finding workers. And we know that the people that are going to be affected by this are people who are primarily the ones who are likely to go and end up dropping out of school, that need the money to help maybe their family.
Their family.
Right? That's going to be people of color. It's going to be refugees. This is what we're uncovering right now. And that's the whole thing about this. The people who are passing this law, it's not for their kids. This is for somebody else's kids. And I, this is a non-political program, but I would be willing to bet that there's probably nobody with the last name Grassley that's going to be ending up working in a mining operation. And I could name a Democratic politician as well.
Yeah.
So it's not for their kids. It's for ours.
Somebody else is always in the breach, it would seem. Charlie Wishman, thanks so very much for joining us and talking to us again. We will have to have you back more often because I enjoy this these conversations that so many times the general public doesn't really grasp how important it is when all of us do better. We all do better, right?
Absolutely.
And that should be what goes. I have one final question for you. And this is maybe it's a political question. I don't know. Recently, we had a story on this program talking about what happened in the state of Michigan, which was really astounding when you take a look at Michigan, my home state, that recently did something that has not been accomplished in over three decades. What happened in Michigan?
So, actually, what's happened in Michigan is something that's a story that's been going on for years. And, you know, Iowa is not that much different than a state like Ohio or a state like Michigan or things like that. And, you know, Michigan had a very, very different sort of governor, had a very, very sort of it was a gerrymandered state. It was a state that had very, very hostile towards workers sort of a legislature that was just doing a lot of harm. And if you contrast what's going on there versus what's going on here, here we're debating things like about where kids can go to the bathroom, things that don't matter. I mean, they matter to those group of
what's
people.
What's the greater good?
Exactly. it matters to those people, but this is such a small fraction of people that it feels like our legislature wants to punch down on, and it's not right. But meanwhile, in Michigan, they are overturning right to work. They're passing prevailing wage, which means that people are going to get paid better on jobs. If you look at Minnesota, they're enacting, you know, free lunch for kids. Like, these are problems that government can solve and things that make life better for people. Unfortunately, it feels like our legislature and our executive branch are doing things that are more geared towards scoring political points and dividing people, in my opinion, than actually solving problems that are real, real problems for Iowa. Some of the things that you mentioned, school consolidation, the loss of not just health care, but especially mental health care across the state. Iowans deserve so much better than this from whatever party's in control.
Charlie Wishman has been with us for an extended conversation about a whole host of issues. Primarily, we're talking about the work bill that's working itself through both the House and the Senate. Charlie, thanks so very much for joining us and having this conversation.
Thank you, Michael. I can't wait for the next time to be on Inside on Business.
Once again, that is the voice of Charlie Wishman, the president of the Iowa Federation of Labor, AFL-CIO. And yes, we will have links to their website up on the radio blog, a wide-ranging conversation about labor issues in the state of Iowa and beyond. Well, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so very much for joining us, for all of us that put this together each and every day. Chap Ramsey is our production coordinator, sales and marketing. Aaron Libby, the voice of the Business News Hour, is Hunter Pease. And the music you're listening to right now is arranged, composed, and conducted by our friend James Goodlett of Jam Good Productions. For all those folks and for Charlie Wishman, my name's Michael Libby. Have yourself a great day. Be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, Be good to your fellow man. Good day.